Well, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It seems sometimes that the world turns pink this time of year, of course, when it's not orange for SU football. But the pink has a health and awareness purpose, and it's awareness that we're talking about this morning because knowing does change everything, and our guests this morning are going to talk about what they know about breast cancer, breast health, and how it benefits all of us. In the studio with me this morning is Jean Marie Glasser, Assistant Administrator for Cancer Services at Upstate. Welcome, Jean Marie.
Good morning, Trish.
You're a newbie. We've not had you here before, but our other guest has been here before. So welcome back to Lisa Seco, nurse practitioner and coordinator for the breast cancer program. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Hi.
I'm so happy to have both of you here. We're going to talk about Upstate's comprehensive breast care program, and you have an announcement to make. Jean Marie, tell us about it.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. The Upstate Breast Program would like to announce that we have recently been awarded accreditation by the National Accreditation Program for Breast Centers.
Now, this is really a big deal. You guys had to jump through a ton of hoops, and you had to prove that you have services that are on and beyond to receive this accreditation. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, what kinds of hoops were they?
The program requires multidisciplinary care from all providers involved with diseases of the breast.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, the hallmark of accreditation is multidisciplinary assessment, treatment, and aftercare.
Exactly what does that mean, Lisa?
It's looking at the whole process of what a woman needs or a male needs to have good breast care. And we're not just talking about breast cancers, we're talking about benign breast disease, diseases of the breast, and they may not always be a cancer. We're looking at mammography services. We're looking at MRIs, screening tools. We're looking at genetics counseling for people at high risk. We have a breast cancer program, but we also have a breast care center that was established in 1987 with Dr. Newman. And what we do is we bring all these disciplines together to give somebody a really comprehensive plan to follow their breast disease, whether it's a cancer or benign disease, because we know that sometimes people with high risk can develop a breast cancer.
Well, let's talk about some of those people who are high risk, because that really is the key here. This is for men or women who know there's a possibility that they could develop breast disease. And as you said, it could be cancerous or not cancerous, but they know they're at high risk. So what happens, Jean Marie? They contact you?
They would contact our program through Upstate Connect.
Uh-huh. And we'll give phone numbers and so forth later, but they make contact, you bring them in, and then what do you do?
We actually will look at their medical records. We will bring them in. They will meet with one of the physicians at the breast care center. If they're at high risk for breast cancer, whether it's a family history or a personal history, we have several nurse practitioners and physicians at the breast care center,
mm-hmm.
and they are the people that take care of people who have benign breast disease, the lumps, the fibroadenomas, or a strong family history or a strong personal history of maybe developing a breast cancer. So they are actually followed at the high-risk surveillance program.
They are. So is one of the components, what you're trying to determine is whether they have any disease that's already started or whether they're at risk. Mm-hmm. So now one of the things I've heard about in terms of breast cancer is genetic testing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's something that some, but not all. Am I right? Jean Marie, what happens with all of that?
We have on staff a certified genetic counselor who would determine what the patient's risk assessment was for breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
and possible future development of breast disease.
Okay.
BRCA
comes to mind. What's that?
BRCA1, BRCA2, these are people, it's a genetic marker for certain kinds of cancers, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, as well as prostate and what are some of the other?
So some of the gender-related
cancers.
Yeah,
some of the
cancers.
Gender. All right. And so when you look at those people who may have BRCA1 or 2, and they certainly need to be followed more closely,
mm-hmm.
but there are some prophylactic measures that they can take to try to decrease their risk for developing a breast cancer or an ovarian cancer.
All right. Now, what happens when someone comes to you and they've already developed disease, whether it's benign or whether it's cancerous, they've developed disease, you help them get through the treatment?
Yes, we do have a multidisciplinary program. And one of the things about the accreditation process that showed us that we really have a good multidisciplinary team.
Well, we keep using that word multidisciplinary. What does that mean?
Exactly. That means that we have not just the surgeons who specialize in benign breast disease and malignant breast disease, but we also have the medical oncologists. They're the cancer doctors that look at chemotherapy or hormonal therapy.
Okay.
We have the radiation oncologists. They're the ones that look at, do you need radiation if you have a breast cancer?
Mm-hmm.
We also have the genetics counselor who's certified, and she's part of the program as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard people say, well, I've had a mastectomy or I've had axillary nodes taken out, and now I have to worry about developing lymphedema.
Ah.
We have a very great, an excellent lymphedema program here. We also have pathology.
So all those disciplines, they all come together to help the patient.
And the nursing staff are very highly educated, and the nurse practitioners are highly educated. And these are all people part of this program to take care of patients and families
mm-hmm.
with breast
Excellent.
Disease or breast cancer.
I love the emphasis on the family, too. And then my next question, though, is now suppose a man or a woman has been diagnosed with disease. They've gone through treatment. They've completed their treatment. Does your breast cancer center follow them after treatment as well?
Yes, we follow the patient for the duration, for the continuum of the course of their disease, before, during, and after diagnosis, if you will.
Okay.
The patient is followed very closely by the nurse practitioners and patient navigators among our practitioners. We have many resources for patients and families, and we do provide family-centered approach to care.
Which I think is really important because so much of a patient's success in getting through treatment is the family support coming through. Lisa, is there a way that people can get in touch with you if they're out there listening, they think they may be candidates for your program? What's the best way for them to get in touch and engage with the program?
Just call
Upstate Connect. We used to call it Health Connect.
I know.
Just so
I get a little confused.
We're all tripping over it, aren't we? But it's called Upstate Connect now. Right. And the phone number?
1-800-464-8668.
Uh-huh.
And we are one of only three in New York State who are accredited by this national organization.
Oh, wow. Only three in the whole
only
state?
Only three in all of New York State.
And that accreditation looks at everything. That is just such a great credential to make sure that people are getting the care they need. Very good. We will put links to your information from our HealthLink On Air website as well. And I thank both of you ladies for coming by this morning.
Thanks, Trish.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's checkup from the neck up, finding a great multivitamin. Well, folks, I've been burning the candle at both ends lately. On one end, working too much, and on the other, not getting enough shut-eye. A recipe for sick. And guess who woke up Monday with a scratchy throat feeling yucky? Yep, yours truly. And I had a major work week coming up with two Jigunda presentations on two consecutive days on two different topics. Yikes, yoikes, stress bump ahead. So stumbling down to the kitchen for breakfast, I'm thinking I know vitamin C can help shorten colds, so maybe I'll feel better in time for the presentations. Now, about 5 years ago, I started taking a multivitamin, thinking it won't hurt and it might help, despite there being no evidence that they do anything for people with a good diet, but who knows? Then, about a year ago, out comes some research on thousands of people like me, middle-aged men, I think from Scandinavia. Anyway, that found that the multivitamin takers among them lived several years less. Yikes, yoikes. So I stopped them right then, noticing how my alleged brain had fallen prey to the drug company sales pitch. Me, a trained scientist, health freak. But there is evidence that vitamin C shortens colds. So where is that bottle in the kitchen? Cabinet? No. Back of the cabinet? No. Countertop odds and ends spot? No. Windowsill? No. Ah! Then I hear a little voice in the back of my head. I'm over here. Astute diagnostician that I am, I think, this might not be a garden variety cold I've got here. But I look around. Warmer, warmer. What is going on here? Colder, colder. What? Warmer, warmer. Over by the refrigerator. Hot, hot. Open the fridge. You're on fire. You're on fire. Finally, the light goes on. The fruit drawer. The oranges. Peeling it smells great. Tastes wonderful. But it wasn't quite over. The peel starts telling me a joke. Knock, knock. Who's there? Orange. Orange who? Knock, knock. Who's there? Orange. Orange who? Knock, knock. Who's there? Aren't you glad I wasn't a pill? I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for tuning in.